The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Tonight, we got a lot to talk about. I was looking over the news today. A lot of news stories that demand our attention are screaming out at us. And I want to tell you that I'm not avoiding Syria. I know a lot of people, when you don't immediately talk about a topic, they think you're avoiding it, or I'm a gatekeeper for the Zionists, or all kinds of other nonsense that comes out. I've seen it being posted on Facebook pages. I mean, on Facebook pages, but other places saying that, you know, the Israeli imperialists and I don't call them Zionists. I call them Israeli imperialists. I don't talk about it unless I see a reason to couch it. Now, we've already couched the idea of weapons, about chemical weapons and flu vaccine, diseases being let go. We did that a few weeks ago because we knew the attitude that was being forged, and we could approximate it with what we're seeing on the internet. And we're basically doing, and I'll tell you this much, okay? What I do and what a lot of people do, people who are good newsmen, people who are journalists, they know how to do exactly what the NSA and the National Counterterrorism Center are doing. And that is, they are interested in words that are being used on the internet, and they use them as kind of an oracle as to what is coming. I mean, look, are we at all surprised about Syria? I don't think so. We've always been debating the possibility that they're going to use the same ploy they used for the first wars, okay? And that is weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons. Saddam used weapons on his own people, Assad now. You know, it's just, you know, it just seems to me that the data that is on the internet and in past historical records, you name it, data in all forms is not just being used to determine the movements of terrorists, okay? When you're looking at what the NSA and what the National Counterterrorism Center is doing, they are interested in everything you say, every sentence combination. Everything is a vital tool to understand predetermined outcomes, because the key word searches being discovered in the cloud are the very things that they're approximating with. The data that they are picking, that they are picking up on, is being funneled into this huge building in Utah. And it's kind of like what we were talking about the other night with Minority Report. It's kind of like, we got the pre-crime squad that was used in that film. While, you know, much of pre-crime data in the Philip K. Dick short story and in the movie Minority Report is actually gathered by remote viewers known as precogs. And there are many that are unaware that these so-called psychics had a mysterious way of tapping into the collective unconscious. Now, if you know something about the book, it's not totally explained in the film, but the precogs were actually like what you saw in The Matrix. They were plugged in to a computer network, and what they did is that network analyzed data from the net, and they were receiving all sorts of data both forward and in reverse from the cloud, and then downloaded it to disks to be analyzed by pre-crime squad people. Like in the movie, it was Tom Cruise. Well, there is a little bit of reality to this type of thinking, and that is that governments of the world right now have learned how to determine the movements of critical mass through a warped sense of what is called the Elliott Wave Principle or the Elliott Wave Theory. And that is, you can forecast trends and probabilities based on crowd psychology and perhaps a little Jungian collective unconscious tapping, going into the collective unconscious, which is the words and the expressions that are being used and texts and phone calls and everything. And I know this type of theorizing may sound outrageously fictitious. However, it really isn't. And it's becoming more of a sport now to determine the innermost thought processes of the human soul and why we do what we do. You know that they want to fingerprint the mind because they want to know how the mind operates. They want to go in and they dig deep right there into those areas where dreams and intuition come from. And the ideas of tapping into the unconscious mind, I know it sounds like a fantasy to some, but you may want to ask why the military invests in this type of stuff. They do. They invest in trying to figure out the unconscious mind. It also is important to point out that when businesses want to investigate trends or what may happen, they hire psychics, but they're not real psychics. It's not like woo-wee, you know. It's not like you know, hiring someone like Kreskin or something like Sylvia Brown. No, they're hiring what are known as trend analysts. But what they really are is they're clicking in or checking in or tapping in to the collective unconscious or the Elliott Wave principle, where they're doing crowd psychology, and the New Market Wizards will say that they're able to approximate the trends of the populace by using what they call dream thought intuition, locating within the consciousness of the digital oracle past trends, present trends, and where the future will take us. Now, these wizards say that crowd psychology yields clusters of thought that wind up in blogs and on websites. So they get their information there as well. And the people, well, they talk. I mean, social networks, Twitter, they talk. They know by looking at Twitter, they know about looking at the People's Press, they know about looking at social networks at Facebook. That is revealing, literally, the overall attitudes of the world. Now, it's not exactly what is said, but how it is said, and what may or may not be said, that can be an indicator of the cycle of behaviors that they're watching. Okay? Cliff High, you may remember him. We had him on the show a while back. They do the same thing with computers, but it's getting down to more of a spying science than it is a paranormal science, and it can get really weird. But, you know, I was thinking the other day about this whole Minority Report and the precog thing and the idea of tapping into collective unconsciousness and the idea of vague sciences, pseudosciences, things that are said to be accurate. But it puzzles me, and it's been puzzling me. That's why I thought about this, and I gave tonight's guest a call. I said, you know, you can call the pseudoscience if you like, but there was something that was rudimentary that was first introduced and was very popular on the radio, very popular in workshops and in speaking engagements, and that, of course, is reverse speech. And reverse speech was actually discovered and founded by an analyst whose name is David John Oates. Now, David has been looking into the messages allegedly conveyed by the collective unconscious by playing forward human speech and finding within its gibberish dull sentences which he claims reveals the true voice of the unconscious mind. Now, it's a place in the mind, he believes, but most of these reversals come from a place in the mind where dreams are formed and where intuition sprouts from, much like the Elliott Wave theory of crowd psychology, crowd intuition, and approximation. The very thing that they are using while they're tapping away at the cloud, looking into words, phrases, sentences, and things that you produce on the internet to see if you're a potential threat to the country. And you can call that anomalous if you want, but reverse speech you listen to, and it's far more interesting and entertaining, for that matter, to hear these things because, look, if you want to look at the human body as a computer, and if you want to take a look at what metadata is, which is, of course, a vague term. So let's use the term metadata on its own, you know, let's look at it from a purist form, metadata. It's the idea that data can be gathered about the containers of the data, okay? So what that means is that they can grab data from the containers of the data directly from the human. So the human is data. Data is gathered, metadata is gathered from the internal consciousness or the unconscious mind of that container. And then it's later dissected, put together, and analyzed to see if there's a potential threat or if there's something else going on. And this is where we get into this whole Philip K. Dick theory of precog or precognitive, pre-crime or pre-intentive crime, or maybe just intentions that are somehow picked up in sort of a precognitive verbal oracle, which, you know, brings up, you know, questions about how we've seen stories and articles and television shows and movies that have created this pre-echo effect as all of those mediums seem to accurately predict the future. You know, if this is by accident, then great. We're having a weird world we're living in. But perhaps the authors of these views that we see into these movies that tap into the future are actually part of the collective unconscious that somehow they have found the future outcome in the words we say, and they've been revealed with some accuracy. So the intent, of course, we have to figure that out. But in the meantime, we do have a rudimentary way of looking into the unconscious mind. Reverse speech. Coming up, David John Oates is going to demonstrate reverse speech for us. And we're going to have an explanation on how it works and why it's very important to pay attention to it. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Coming up, David John Oates. We'll be right back with more. Keep it here. Don't go away. They're using the internet now to look into the cloud to see if they find any words that may be seditious or otherwise strange. It's an oracle they're using. They're using the intuition, Elliott's wave theory, crowd psychology. I'll tell you, you know, there are a lot of people who are true believers of the government method of snooping, and their conclusions would be quite possibly that this works. But what about reverse speech? It's always been a rudimentary form of looking into the unconscious mind. So says my guest tonight, David John Oates, who I want to remind people that one of the reasons why reverse speech got so popular is because of, well, it was discovered, and David, maybe you can correct me on this. Wasn't it first discovered by an intelligence op that you were doing some reversals and they said that what you did is you actually did reverse speech on the president and Dick Cheney and found out the secrets of the war that they were planning?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was back in 1990. I was doing reversals on George Bush and George Bush Sr. And, found all sorts of reversals about the war and actions they were planning. And we'll play a couple of those. And reverse speech will tap into the thoughts and the collective unconscious thoughts of the speaker at the time. And if the president's just finished a meeting with his Joint Chiefs of Staff and goes and does a press conference, what they discussed in that meeting could very well appear in his reversals.
Now, I know that it was Cecil B. Scott Jones, who was the naval attaché at the time for secret projects in the Middle East, that actually notified at that time. Was he Secretary of Defense, Dick Cheney? I think he was at the time.
Yes, he was.
And apparently there was it was the president speaking and also Cheney speaking. And in consecutive, at least two or three consecutive reversals, you found the word Simone in the reverse speech of both Cheney and Bush. Now, explain why that raised eyebrows and security alerts in the intelligence ops there in Washington.
Right. Well, I'd just been recruited by Scott Jones to bring reverse speech into Washington, and he'd already made several inquiries and set up some tentative lectures, and there was a lot of interest in the reverse speech process. And so I was doing reversals at the time on the war, we found this one word, Simone, and Scott Jones wrote a confidential memo to then Defense Secretary Dick Cheney talking all about reverse speech and the code word we were finding. And somehow that memo was leaked to the press, and it went viral. I mean, it went all over the world. As the president hiding secret code words backwards in his speech, CNN ran it as their top news story at the time, and suddenly reverse speech was plunged into the limelight by uncovering some very sensitive information about the situation in the Gulf. And
so do you have that reversal that you have on Dick, on not Dick Cheney, but on George H.W. Bush that we can hear him, Simone?
Yeah, okay. So let's run it forwards first. Here's the forwards.
But we must recognize that Iraq may not stop using force to advance its ambitions. Iraq has massed an enormous war machine on the Saudi border.
And reversal is Simone in the sands.
Simone in the times.
And again.
Simone in the times.
Yeah, I'll just play that second speed one more time.
Simone in the times.
So what does Simone mean? Why is that a significant word? Well, it's actually Arabic for a dust storm in the desert, or desert storm. And I found this word before Operation Desert Storm started. And I remember to this very day, I was watching the news when the troops went into Iraq back in 91, and they said Operation Desert Storm had just started. And I thought, oh my God, that's Simone. That's the code word we discovered. And my phone ran hot from what people in Washington telling me, don't talk to the press, just keep quiet about this. And so I did. I let all the media stuff run rampant, and I just shut up and didn't say anything. And
now, let's go over the timeline here. So you came up with that long before Desert Storm was even in the vernacular. Desert Storm had not happened. In fact, Operation Desert Shield had begun in August of 1990, and later Operation Desert Storm happened. The first Gulf War began in January of 91. So there you go. And then we're coming down to the news time, but I want you to also, when we come back from the break, demonstrate that after Scott Jones forwarded this to Dick Cheney, he actually headed up the Human Potential Foundation group that was called the Center for Applied Anomalous Phenomena. And he actually was using reverse speech for some other things. And they also uncovered another code that came out of the president's mouth at the time. My guest tonight is David John Oates of Reverse Speech. He's the founder of Reverse Speech. And as we say, you know, reverse speech is fascinating if you apply it to the reality of why it is so important. I mean, I think a lot of people are looking at it and going, yeah, of course, this is just some fun little parlor trick. But no, it caught the eye of Dick Cheney. Also, Scott Jones, who was the attaché, naval attaché, for secret projects in the Middle East. They were aware of Simone in the Sands, and they were aware of several other code words that David had found in the speeches of George H.W. Bush. We'll explore that coming up with more and how this can add to precog intelligence right here on Ground Zero. The numbers to call, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Tonight, we're so very proud to have on the air with us David John Oates of Reverse Speech. We'll be back with more right here. Don't go away.
Did you hear that?
What?
Something on that tape when it ran backwards.
What are you talking about?
Run it down again. Now play it backwards. I don't believe it.
You never sounded so good.
I'm serious. Play this backwards and you hear evil messages. Play the rest.
We're going to play that one back.
There it is again.
Don't start.
I mean it. Play it backwards. Doesn't it bother you that evil messages creep into our commercials when you play them backwards? Play the rest. You're not going to play the rest?
Look, I rent this studio by the hour.
What is it trying to tell us?
Death Wish 2. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
Back and forth, flip and change, and reverse, we go. Back and forth, flip and change, and reverse, we go. Back and forth, flip and change, and reverse, we go. Back and forth, flip and change, and reverse, we go. Back and forth, flip and change, and reverse, we go. Back and forth.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. If it sounds weird, it's in reverse. That's because tonight, David John Oates is with us. Yep. David John Oates of Reverse Speech with us tonight. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. You heard before the break that in the beginning, reverse speech caught the eye of intelligence. That's right. Scott Jones, a naval attaché for secret projects in the Middle East, caught the word Simone in a reversal that was done on George H.W. Bush. Simone, Simone in the Sands could be heard clearly during a reversal of President George H.W. Bush. Simone was actually another word for Desert Storm. Now, you got to keep in mind that the timeline goes perfectly. And, of course, Scott Jones also headed up the Human Potential Foundation, another group that was called the Center for Applied Anomalous Phenomena. It was a nonprofit educational and scientific research organization that was chartered to conduct research and analysis of anomalous phenomena. And, of course, they had a keen interest in reverse speech, mainly not just because of that one, but there was actually another reversal on George H.W. Bush that talked about some other, I guess you could say, intelligence with regard to the war.
Sorry. It's okay. Right. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes. Okay. Okay. So here we have the second one. So let's run this forward.
I think things are moving in the right direction, and we're pleased so far with the solidarity, cohesiveness of the economic actions that have been taken.
This one says, sent the Seahawk up.
Sent the Seahawk up.
Quite clear. I'm sure you'd agree.
Sent the Seahawk up.
And, of course, the Seahawk, as I later discovered, was an attack helicopter on aircraft carriers. And I was finding all sorts of reversals like that. Now, they're the only two I've got to play. But if you'd like to go to my website and do a search for Desert Storm, there's a whole series of articles on Desert Storm, and a lot of the transcripts that I found other information, and you can see all those transcripts on my website. They're all there, along with the secret memo that Scott Jones sent to Dick Cheney, also an endorsement from the Human Potential Foundation, thanking me for all my help for them over the years, and you can read all of that letter on the site. I don't know whether you're aware, but Senator Claiborne Pell actually used reverse speech in his election campaign.
Who did? Back in.
Senator Claiborne Pell. He's now the late Senator Claiborne Pell, but he ran for re-election in 92, and he was Scott Jones actually used to work for Senator Claiborne Pell.
You know, he also worked on, I don't know if you knew this, I think I shared this with you once before. I did some research about one of the reasons why they were so into reverse speech, not just because of the fact that they were reversing, you know, presidential, you know, speeches to see if there was any intel, but they were actually trying to get dolphins to talk. And
Yes, I know. I don't know whether I had any success.
Well, they it was the Neptune Helper and the Neptune Helper 1 and 2 projects. They were actually using reverse speech, isolation, psychedelic drugs, and they were using all of these things to get dolphins to communicate. And one of the things is that there was something called that they were working on called solid state intelligence, where they believe that solid state systems and the network of human thought forms through data was able to be pumped in to the human mind and into the mind of a dolphin. And that's why you got movies like Day of the Dolphin and Altered States, was because they were actually using reverse speech and several other methods to try and dig up or bring out human thought forms. I want to get into that right now as we're on this, because of the fact that the NSA now, and also counterterrorism operatives, are looking into metadata, actually finding out what the container, what kind of data the container has in it. And if you look at the human body as a container, it has plenty of data in it. And of course, the idea of altered states and going into the part of the mind called the collective unconscious. Does reverse speech do this? And what do you mean by going into the collective unconscious when you talk about reverse speech?
You're tapping into a universal storehouse of knowledge. Carl Jung theorized that at the base of consciousness existed a universal storehouse of knowledge that has all events, past, present, and future. And by tapping into that collective unconscious, you could tap into those past events. Here, let me show you a classic example of a collective unconscious information. This is, you've never heard this one, Clyde. This is Princess Di in her famous interview, where she talked about her failed marriage, and she believed that, and the letter was revealed where she believed Prince Charles was going to kill her in a car accident. So listen to this.
And Diana's mentally imbalanced. And unfortunately, that seems to have stuck on and off over the years.
And here she says back was, suicide, your chauffeur.
Suicide, your chauffeur.
Suicide, your chauffeur.
Got that there? So the chauffeur was killed in the car accident. The word suicide is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But here we have her, prior to the event, tapping into an event, the death of the chauffeur in the car accident.
Well, you know, it's interesting as a story broke today, as a matter of fact, or last night. I can't remember because I was up late because my fiance left for England. And also I did an appearance on WOR this morning, John Gambling Show. It was interesting because I stumbled upon that. I guess Scotland Yard is really seriously tapping into this SAS revelation that maybe the Secret Service, you know, Her Majesty's Secret Service or some Secret Service organization was involved in the murder of Princess Diana. They have been interviewing a number of people, including Prince Charles. And so I'm thinking it'd be interesting to find out more reversals on Princess Diana now that the case is open again, and whether or not we can find out what was going through Princess Diana's mind before her death.
Well, I've got about a half a dozen here that I was going to play on the show today when we got around.
Oh, fantastic. The story is it's opening up. We thought it would go away after a few days, and we thought, yeah, the conspiracy theorists are right. That's what they said. But now we have more to go on. And if you have reversals on Princess Diana, I'm sure we're, pardon the expression, dying to hear them, you know. So
what you got? Some on Edward Snowden, too.
We'll go to that, too. We'll talk about that coming up. But what do you got for Princess Diana? I want to know if there's anything on her that we overlooked or has been pushed into the memory hole about what she was feeling inside of her when at the point where she was about to die.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's I've got quite a few here. Let's play this one.
Maybe I was the first person ever to be in this family who ever had a depression or was ever openly tearful. And obviously that was daunting, because if you've never seen it before, how do you support it?
Okay, so she's talking about depression, is new to the royal family, and she says backwards, and he's so angry.
Put me in his of envy.
Presumably talking about Prince Charles, okay? That's how I would interpret that. And here she says another one. Let's run this.
Why? I was at the end of my tether. I was desperate. I think I was so fed up with being seen as someone who was a basket case.
And here she says, our love is over, so upset.
But I love her so either. So upset.
I love her so either. So upset.
You hear that one okay?
I love her so either. So upset.
It is so, you know, it's so eerie to hear these because of the fact that we know that Princess Diana was having some very, you know, strong emotional problems during the time of her marriage. And, you know, I've seen interviews with her, and of course, you know, many speculate that she may have had borderline personality disorder, or she may have had some schizophreniform disorder or something. A lot of people were speculating that her mental health was not exactly, she was depressive. There were times when she tried to commit suicide, especially when she was carrying Prince William. She felt that she was carrying the devil's baby. She had mentioned something about how the royals were vampires and bloodsuckers, and a number of other real damning things about the royal family. I'm sure you have more Princess Diana. What other ones do you have of her?
Oh, okay. Here's one here. We should play the Queen reversals too on her.
That'd be interesting what she has to say. Yeah.
When have you heard those ones where she announced made a speech after Princess Di?
You mean Queen Elizabeth? What she said?
Uh huh.
What's gotten her? What? How did she feel? Because I know that they did that movie, The Queen. Wow. And they were trying to make go ahead. What do you got on the Queen? Let's hear the Queen.
All right. Well, hang on. Let me play this one dive reverse.
Okay, sure.
Here we go.
Rampant bulimia, if you can have rampant bulimia.
And here she says, Nirvana behind me.
Nirvana behind me.
So she's no longer in that paradise state. It's all behind her now. She's living in. She's living in abject depression.
That's so remarkable that those are available, and if that is true, if this is true about what a reverse speech is, you know, we have definitely tapped into someone who was very troubled both forwards and backwards, inside and out. I guess coming up after the break, we can hear some of the Queen's remarks, what she said about Princess Diana's death as well, and what she was perhaps having inside her. Unconscious mind. That's all coming up. David John Oates tonight with us on the program. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We've talked about how this can be used for intelligence gathering, how it was used for it at one time, And now you're beginning to see how reverse speech is important, and much like the data gathering that is done by intelligence ops. It's kind of an interesting way of looking at it, but that's how it is. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More from David John Oates coming up. Don't go away. When we look back at reverse speech and how it had the attention of intelligence ops, how it was being analyzed by the Defense Department, and how these reverse recordings were being used to communicate with dolphins and other such interesting anomalous activities, you need to understand that, yes, there is gibberish in reverse recordings, but does this find patterns? Are we finding patterns? Well, in both speech comparisons of both Bush and Cheney, the name surfaced, Desert Storm, Simone in the Sands. You've heard how Princess Diana, in her troubled life, both forwards and backwards, was having trouble. And, of course, that new case is opened again where they're investigating whether or not she was murdered. Well, David John Oates now says that he has some reversals on the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, when she was making her announcements about Princess Diana's death. What do you have for us with regard to how the Queen felt at the time, David?
Okay, so here's the first one. Queen, we'll run this forward.
This week at Balmoral, we have all been trying to help William and Harry come to terms with the devastating loss that they and the rest of us have suffered.
Okay, fairly compassionate words, you would think, but she says in reverse, the fuss will serve us.
The fuss will serve us. The fuss will serve us.
And again.
The
in other words, the royal family is going to benefit from all this commotion. Okay, we're going to use this to our advantage. Mm-hmm. So it's a very cold, calculating statement. You know, and the Queen was actually pressured to go public. Who was the by Tony Blair, mm-hmm. and because she was quiet for several days, and finally Tony Blair talked her into going public and making a statement, and this was the statement that she made.
Well, in the movie, the Queen, they actually made it look as though the Queen Mother, actually Queen Elizabeth, was more or less looking at it from the standpoint it's a family matter and no one cares. But then Tony Blair had said, well, she was really loved by the people, and you must make a statement, and so. It was almost like her calculating ways of reporting the death of Princess Diana made it look like she was uncaring, but in reality, she looked at it as business. It was like handling the family business from her standpoint. She was looking at it as handling it, and most people thought that maybe she was in on something, or I don't think the Queen was in on anything. I think that if anything, this was some sort of a secret hit, but yet the Queen saw opportunity. And she saw several other things in this. What other reversals do you have before we go to the top of the episode?
Yeah, I don't think the Queen was involved in it, but she was cold and calculating in the way she approached it. So here we have another one.
We have all been trying in our different ways to cope. It is not easy to express a sense of loss, since the initial shock is often succeeded by a mixture of other feelings.
Yeah, she says she needs this.
She needs this.
Wait a minute. We're having a breakup here. Go ahead. You were breaking up a little bit. Go ahead again.
Okay, we'll try again.
She needs this.
In other words, she needs death. This is something that I needed. I mean, it's a very cold statement.
Definitely so. It's really super cold what she was saying about this whole thing. I mean, and hearing what Princess Diana had to say, too. I mean, you're looking back at... she had done. I mean, she was, she thought that Prince Philip hated her. She had made mention of this. There were a lot of people who had their opinions of who may have been responsible for the death. That it wasn't just all about a drunk chauffeur, ramming into the 13th pillar. I mean, we just did a show about all the significance of Princess Diana, and I was going over some of her tapes. And man, she just comes off as being so depressed, and those eyes is like. She was giving this look like they're basically torturing me. What am I going to do to get away from it all,
Quite intense. And the reversals, of course, are quite intense, too. Our love is over, so upset. He's so angry. Nirvana behind me. And suicide your chauffeur. That's an incredible one.
Do you have any other Diana ones to end the show with tonight? The first hour, anyway?
Yeah. Yep, sure. Here's another one.
But that headline went all around the world.
And here she says, I wrote them the odd letter. And again. And that's the letter she wrote. I think that's the letter she wrote where she claimed Charles was going to kill her.
So do you think that with the reversals that we're hearing that there needs to be a reopening of the case and that Scotland Yard should consider what's been said by this major...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely. Oh. I mean, I don't have any reversals pointing to Philip or Charles or, you know, well, we haven't done them. But one of my analysts, last by the name of Naomi Longson, is doing some work on Princess Di and the whole mystery right now. So
wow, that's good. I'd love to hear what that. Or, yeah, exactly. Yeah. David John Oates is with us tonight on Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. If you have any questions about reverse speech and its implications. Coming up, more interesting reversals. We have some from Snowden coming up. Of course, the whole reason why we're into the idea of finding information, data, and the reason why we hear of the spying is all because of Ed Snowden. So we're going to be talking about him coming up on Ground Zero. Don't go away. Is Ground Zero. In the first hour, we talked about how the tapping into the unconscious sounds like a fantasy to some, but that's exactly what they're doing when they're doing analysis on what we talk about and present on the internet. When you hear of the national security agencies and also terrorism task force doing data mining, they're doing so that they can find out what exactly is going on in what is known as the collective unconscious, or what is the overall feeling in the zeitgeist that needs to be analyzed? It's something that can be compared to crowd psychology or Elliott Wave Principle, using all sorts of ways to tap into what we're talking about to figure out what trends are happening, going by gut, intuition, what goes on in dream time. And the thing is, the military invests in this type of thing. They look into it as part of the intel operations. They invest in such practices as remote viewing. They look into all sorts of other ways to investigate why business firms, they investigate business firms, they hire psychics, trendsetters, or actually trend analysts to try and figure out what's really going on. And this is how they one-up you and figure out what they can prepare or have available to you before you even ask for it, because you don't really know that your conversation has been monitored and they can pretty much figure things out. Well, what if there was a rudimentary way to do this? And what if it's been around since the time before the internet, when it was first being proposed to intelligence operations by none other than Dick Cheney or several other people who are interested in this? Well, David John Oates is on the program tonight to talk about reverse speech. And that's exactly what happened to him. In the last hour, we heard a number of these types of reversals on famous people. We were talking about Princess Diana, the Queen, and of course the new case has been opened up about whether or not Princess Diana was murdered. The reversals clearly show that Princess Diana was troubled. The Queen used it to her best advantage. But I guess, David, the thing that brings this all into the open is the idea that intelligence, or how intelligence was gathered, was brought out by a whistleblower. And that, of course, is Ed Snowden. And what he said and what he released to the public. And this was this caused a whole lot of controversy. I'm sure a lot of people would like to know just what was behind this intelligence, this whistleblowing and this intelligence breach.
All right. Well, I got three reversals on him. And I think the three reversals I got pretty much sum him up, I think. So let's run the first one. Here's the forwards.
So long as the public gets to make their own decisions about how that's applied.
And here he says, I'm just American.
I wasn't just an American.
I wasn't just an American. I wasn't just an American.
So he's saying, look, basically what that tells us is he's got no hidden agenda for motive. He believes he was doing his patriotic duty. I'm just an American. You know, the NSA are doing these things, and I'm doing my patriotic duty by bringing it out to the open.
Okay. And then a lot of people feel that way. They feel that he's a patriot for actually doing this. And of course, it's been the media that's been spinning it to let us believe that he was a traitor, that he was actually releasing information that would be detrimental to the war effort, detrimental to our soldiers. But, you know, it did open up a can of worms about how data is collected, exactly from a standpoint of internet, phone conversations, cell phones, things of that nature. And as I said in the earlier hour, you know, the thing about reverse speech is it's been a rudimentary way of tapping into these very same things without having to use, I guess you could say, the cloud, if you will. It's finding messages in the clouds is what they're doing as far as the intel, NSA intel. But what you're doing is you're finding messages according to what reverse speech is all about. You say that you're dipping in and finding messages in the unconscious mind, or what deep down the person who is speaking is feeling in that area where dreams are made, where the unconscious mind resides.
Yeah, well, for those who might be new to the whole field of reverse speech, the basic theory is that language is bilevel, forwards as well as backwards. This is a natural function of the human mind. There's nothing superstitious or psychic about it. It's just the brain constructs speech, so it's twofold, forwards as well as backwards. And so the theory behind it is basically very simple. But what it's tapping into is what is the interesting thing. I mean, on some levels, it can tap into conscious thoughts, like I'm just American on Snowden. I'm sure that was his conscious thoughts. Other times, it taps into the collective unconscious. And sometimes it'll tap into our unconscious, where we're reasons for behavior and personality traits are all in the deep unconscious mind. And reverse speech will tap into all of that. So,
I've heard you call area of the mind a place where you do the meta walk. And then when I heard the words metadata, which is basically trying to understand the data that comes from the container or to dig deep, that's exactly what they look at us as, containers that hold information, that hold data. We bring that data forward, whether in the speech or the things we write. But who'd ever thought that we could also dip into the areas of intuition and dream time? Yep. And that's what reverse speech does.
That's exactly what it does. Here, before I play another reverse on Snowden, I actually got up another reverse I was going to play last break, but we didn't have time, that shows tapping into the collective unconscious. This is a reversal I found on a client of mine in Australia in 2001.
That I said that, you know, I will be an opener of souls, and made the most incredible feeling of my heart chakra just bursting wide open.
And here he says, soon plan evil on America.
Soon plan evil on America.
Soon plan evil on America.
And again.
Soon plan evil on America.
Now, I found that, I think it was 3 months beforehand, 3 months before 911. Uh-huh. And so uh-huh. I think this was and when I found the reversal on client, I thought, well, what's this got to do with anything? But I kept it. I thought, oh, well, I'll keep that. It's an interesting reversal. And bang, 3 months later, the Twin Towers attack happened. And I think this was tapping into collective unconscious.
A lot of people have said that we felt it coming before it came. It was kind of like a pre-echo. Everyone had a feeling that something was going to happen, and maybe it was – I wonder what if we did have that data mining back then, and of course reverse speech back then, how many reversals about something evil happening to America would have been recorded or at least found in reverse speech prior to the attack?
Yeah, shame I wasn't doing reversals in the media at that stage back in 2001.
I know.
I was underground back then.
So more of Snowden. What more do we have of Snowden?
All right. So here we have another one on Snowden. Let's run this forwards.
From somebody, even by a wrong call, and then they can use the system to go back in time and scrutinize every decision you've ever made.
Here he says, walk all around the media.
Walk all around the media.
Walk all around the media.
And again. And so that's what he's doing. He's going public with his information. He's just an American, okay? And he's releasing this information to the public, and he wants publicity to get the information out.
And he's walking on the media as well, because, of course, the media had this say as to what he – see, this is what's fascinating about it. But, you know, that's the thing, is it's about the interpretation and intent as well. This is where we get into how the discipline of reverse speech gets a little awkward and vague in some respects. And you know, all respect, I've seen this in action, and it does work. It is fascinating to see how it does work. But it's just that there's that area where a lot of the skeptics will step on you and say, well, it's all about intent, interpretation, and how it is applied, and the misuse can be done. But see, that can be said of the metadata gathering.
Sure.
Intent.
Absolutely.
And the of what they're doing with that as well. They interpret what words are being said in social media, Twitter, and all these other places, and then they have to determine if the person making those making all that is a threat, A. B, they take all of that information and they try to mold together a vision or an approximation of what people are preferring or what they're talking about or what they're worried about. And then, of course, they make it known that they have that there's some sort of crisis. They hear the people develop ideas on what should be done, and then they provide a solution as if by some miracle they know exactly what it is that we want. It's kind of like a harbinger, if you will, or an omen as to what is to come, and they see it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And on the word omen, listen to this reversal on Snowden. Here we go.
And the more you talk about it, the more you're ignored.
And here he simply says, the omen.
The omen. Human.
So he's sort of predicting the more you talk about it, the more you are ignored. So we've got three reversals on him. One that says he's a patriot. Two, he's looking for media. And B, this is he has an omen of events to come. And of course, now he's in Russia.
It's amazing. Amazing stuff. David John Oates, my guest tonight on Ground Zero. If you have any questions about reverse speech, once again, you know, I've known David for some time, heard a lot of the reverse speech that has been presented, not just on television and radio, but of course in seminars and workshops. And it gets really deep. A lot of it is about the collective unconscious, kind of a rudimentary way of getting the metadata from a human being. And you don't need a computer to do it. All you need is to record someone and some type of software to reverse the speech. It's amazing how it happens. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. A fascinating program tonight about reverse speech. Glad to have David John Oates back. And we'll be hearing from you coming up right here on Ground Zero. Don't go away. David John Oates is my guest tonight on Ground Zero, Reverse Speech, the founder of Reverse Speech. You can go to reversespeech.com for all the information on it. In fact, it's fascinating to listen to a lot of this. You know, David, I know you've been called in many times for court cases dealing with, I guess, revealing criminal activity, maybe finding out intentions of alleged criminals. Now, I know that a lot of what you present is not admissible in court, much like most lie detector tests. But they do use it as a possible indicator of what may or may not be in the unconscious mind of a potential criminal or suspect. Do you have any, I guess, reversals on those types of subjects?
None of the cases I've worked on, but I've got reversals, of course, of murder suspects. Let's look at a classic one to start off with. This is Scott Peterson, who's currently sitting on death row in California, and here he is being interviewed by a reporter. The reporter says, did you murder your wife?
Did you murder your wife?
No, she thought.
Backwards, he says, neck, I hit hard.
Neck, I hit hard.
So whilst he's denying the crime scene in his mind, he's remembering how he did it. He hit her hard on the back of the neck. Now, when her body was discovered, it was decapitated, and they never did find the head. So
that's remarkable. How that all seems to come together. One of my favorites, in fact, one of the first well-known favorites. In fact, they opened the case again a long time ago, and no one really remembers the JonBenet Ramsey case. That's kind of a case that's been thrown out, and people have been saying that, you know, at first they thought the mother did it, and then they said the mother didn't do it, and then some guy came forward, and I think his last name was Carr, came forward and said that he did it.
Yep.
And then reversals indicated that he didn't do it. And then he finally said, I made it up. And then what do you got on the Ramseys? It's sort of a classic case. And of course.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got a couple. Let's play three reversals on the Ramseys. They're all on my website. Go to my website, reversespeech.com, and you can see my whole summation of the Ramsey case. But here's an initial one. They were saying that someone who they knew had done it. And Patsy says, well, I don't think we've ever knowingly met anyone who could be that vicious.
I can't believe that we have ever knowingly met anyone that can be this vicious.
Back with, she says, I'm the only one.
I'm the only one.
I'm the only one. I'm the only one.
Pretty damning. She's saying, well, I'm the only one.
What about the one who saw the witness? She said that there were the only other person who did this, and I witnessed it. And then you play it backwards, and it says something about how, I guess, she cops to it right there in the reversal. Do you have that one?
She says, I'm that person. And she's saying forward, she feels there's at least two people on the face of this earth who know who's committed this crime. Here we go.
We feel like there are at least two people on the face of this earth that know who did this. And that is the killer and someone that person may have confided in.
Back to, she tells us who the person is. She simply says, I'm that person.
I'm interested.
I mean, pretty straightforward.
I'm interested.
And I've got another reversal here that's not quite as clear, but very significant. See if you can hear this one.
Your Honor, it was the day after Christmas, and we were going to go visiting.
We're going to go out visiting, and she says backwards, I struck her head.
Struck her head.
Got that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
And just before we go to break, I'd like you, you were involved with the Judas Priest case about the young kids that heard masking on Judas Priest saying it may have prompted their deaths. What is that? It's Beyond the Realms of Death. Can you play that? That's always been a creepy one for me, that Judas Priest.
Yeah, that's Beyond the Realms of Death. Yeah, that's this is the they were actually sued and for backward messages. So here's the song Beyond the Realms of Death. And backwards it's I took my life.
Wow.
So what did the judge say about that? Because that's obvious that you hear the words, I took my life there, and those kids committed suicide while listening to it, and also they brought up
suicide. Well, the judge issued a very interesting ruling that actually lays a legal precedent. He actually ruled that the backward messages did exist. That was part of his ruling. And so there's a ruling on American law now, these backward messages exist. But he threw out the case because he also stated there wasn't sufficient evidence put forward that these backward messages were subliminally suggested. In other words, there was no evidence to suggest that the brain could hear and respond to them. So the case
That wasn't back masking either. That was a kind of an accidental, once again, reverse speech is run. It was in there because, of course, the judge says there are reversed messages in speech. However, there's no evidence. So therefore, you know, it cannot subliminally, I guess, influence someone to do something. It's not like some voice of madness that reaches out to you and says, I am Satan. I'm going to have you kill yourself. It didn't jump out and say that to them.
No. Well, look. The messages on the album were about suicide. Yes, they were. Like, I took my life. But see, the album forwards was about suicide. The album forwards about a man's search for meaning in life, and he didn't find any meaning, so he kills himself. So that's the. You just have to listen to the forwards without the reverse, and so the reverse is really is merely a reflection of what the album forwards was about. It's the same story forwards as it is backwards.
So that is something, and I remember when I attended your seminars, it's something known as a congruent reversal, where the message forward and the message backward are one and the same, and they don't deter from each other. It's as if, you know, the unconscious mind is thinking of the suicide as well as the conscious mind. So we have the matching of the two. They all come together to create and form that one thought form. It's amazing how this reverse speech operates.
Right. Yeah, congruent reversals, where you're saying the same thing backwards as you are forwards. More common than you might realize. Yeah, here's a really simple
one. Well, guess what? We have to take a break, David. I just want to take a break quickly, and you can show more congruent reversals. I'd love to hear this coming up right here on Ground Zero, and phone calls coming up. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More about David John Oates. A whole lot of reversals to get to, and it's a fascinating program. We'll be back. Keep it here. Don't go away.
On a star, it's only friends who we want. Anything your heart desires will come to you.
How do we want this world with all those that are on it? How do we want this world with all those that are on it? Again.
off on the floor.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you are listening to Ground Zero. Tonight, my guest is David John Oates of Reverse Speech. ReverseSpeech.com. Tonight, reaching into the insides of the collective unconscious, as Reverse Speech reveals some very interesting things about people we've heard about in the news. And as we were heading into the break, we were talking about something called congruent reversals, where the forward speech actually somehow comes together with the backward speech. And so we begin to hear some remarkable, I guess you could say, duplication or doppelganger speech going on. And there have been many times when I've heard this, I've been fascinated with how backwards and forwards, it seems to be the same thing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Let me play you. We'll play three. Here's the first one on Newt Gingrich.
It's an amazingly badly written bill.
Okay, it's a badly written bill here. This is so clear, I won't have to tell you what this one says. Listen carefully.
A real bad meal.
A real bad meal.
What do you hear?
A real bad meal.
It's a real bad bill. Play it forward.
Yeah, exactly right. The real bad bill. Okay, so here's the forwards.
It's an amazingly badly written bill.
Backwards, the real bad bill.
A real bad meal.
A real bad meal.
Right, that's
a real bad meal.
That's wonderful. Very congruent, obviously, you know.
Yes, it is.
It's communicating the same thing backwards as it is forwards. Here's one on Angelina Jolie.
I grew up kind of very very aware of my own emotions.
Okay, listen carefully what she's saying backwards.
I am very aware.
You got that? I'm very aware.
That is amazing. You know, this whole nonsense. I've read everything about what skeptics say about reverse speech. And they always say, well, David sets you up by saying, well, listen for what they have to say. And you didn't say anything about what they say. And then backwards, you can clearly hear, I'm aware. Yep. I'm aware of my emotions. And then reverse it says, I'm aware. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, and here's another one. This is a famous one. Those who know my career, you'll know about my famous house fire. Here's my secretary running in saying, David, the house is on fire.
Yes?
What? The house is on fire.
And here it is backwards. Listen carefully what she's saying backwards. Same thing. That's another congruent reversal. She's saying almost exactly the same thing, the same words backwards as what she's saying forwards.
So does this indicate, now a lot of people have asked, you know, is this the way the words are arranged, or does this indicate emotion? I mean, is the emotion being carried?
This is emotion.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that's emotion. Yeah, reverse speech is very much a right brain function. It's a right brain that's speaking in reverse. And so the more emotion is in the speech, or the more free-flowing and spontaneous the speech is, the more you'll get reversals. On a very left brain speech, like a politician reading a speech, you'll get very few, because the right brain is not actively engaged. He's so much into his dialogue and his prepared words, his left brain. So the more right brain, the more reversals you will get. Here, let's throw a couple more at you without prompting. Here's for the skeptics. Listen to this one.
S4.
You worked at S4?
No, that's the area where I was living.
Oh, my.
Okay, now this reverse has got nothing to do with the forward, so there's no setup anywhere. Listen carefully. What's he saying backwards?
It's September.
What do you hear?
It's September.
It's September. Exactly right. That's exactly what he says. Now listen what they say forwards next.
Yesterday was September 11th.
Oh, my God.
Well, it is September 11th on your time.
It is still now September 11th.
So there we go. So he says it backwards, and then they say it forwards.
So what is that? I mean, if he didn't even say anything about September, and then No. You hear in his reverse the word September. So was he forming his thoughts about saying September 11th?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we call that a lead reversal.
Okay, play that again. Play that, because that's mind-boggling. The idea, a lead reversal. So he, as he was speaking there, he was speaking and he was thinking about the next sentence would be about September 11th. And so you hear the reversal. Let's hear that again.
Okay, so here's the forwards.
S4.
You worked at S4?
No, that's the area where I was living.
Oh, my.
So that's the forward. So here's the reverse. It's September. Nothing to do with the forwards.
It's September.
And here's what they say next.
Yesterday was September 11th. It is September 11th on your time. Isn't it?
It is still now September 11th.
Wow.
Yeah, so there we go. Yeah, so classic lead reversal. I don't know how we got into this topic, but we have. Look, let me play another lead reversal, seeing we're on the topic. Here we go. Here we have, this is a thick accent. I hope you can understand the forwards. See how we go.
And I was about 30, 35, and I found out that my father was alive.
How did you find out?
It's just through word of mouth.
No, he said, I was about 30, 35 when I found out my father was alive. Reporter says, how did you find out? He says it was just through word of mouth. Now you play that backwards, and he says this.
I have an older sister.
So he's talking about his father, and he brings up he has an older sister. And that's what he says.
I have an older sister
is what he's saying, right? Is that what I hear?
That's exactly what you heard.
So he says, I have an older sister. It has nothing to do with the father. So I guess he probably ends up talking about his sister later on.
Exactly right.
Here's the next section.
Here's the next section forwards.
Talking a different one. The same with...
Something was said to you, was it?
Yeah, well, I just talked to different ones about it because I was sort of trying to trace a sister. One of my sisters.
So you found out that you had sisters and brothers.
Yeah, I knew all along I had one sister.
Mm. Well, there we go. So he talks about the sister next. So a classic example of a lead reversal. Here, well, okay. Now let me show you a trail reversal. I don't know how we got into this topic, but we have. Okay, here's a woman.
Let's just play with it. It flows. Go ahead, David. What do you got?
Okay. All right. This is a woman who's talking about her love life, okay?
Just the weird part, you know, which I guess kept to myself, is that I'm noticing, I get this, like, when I met Michael, I was immediately attracted to him, and I wanted him, and I still want him, not as strongly, and I won't go there.
Okay, so she talks about a love life, then she changes the topic, and she's now talking about reverse speech.
Okay, so, like, my initial reaction to it. Let's see, no, well, I mean, it's excellent. It's right on the part about the
Okay, so she's talking about her reversals. And then she says this backwards, listen carefully.
I want a man.
What do you have?
I want a man. That's what I heard.
Exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly what it says. I want a man.
So she's talking about her love life, you know.
Yeah, so this is a thought that continues on, even though the forward topic's changed. She's talking about a love life first, then she starts talking about reverse speech. Then we get reversal, I want a man, when she's talking about reverse speech. But see, the love life is still on her mind, even though she's changed topics. And we call that a trail reversal. It trails on and continues the topic of the previous forward dialogue.
See, this is amazing. We look at it from, you know, once again, we go back into that emotional state and go into the intuitive side of the brain where, you know, you're digging into... There's this, you know, there are frequencies that we send out that are not being communicated. We found that. We have talked about this before, about how there are frequencies, what we call communication that does not happen, you know, with just using voice or using words. There are communications where we use our eyes, our body language. But then, of course, if you read a lot about what Carl Jung had to say, there are signals you send out that attract people to you or take people away from you, the words you use or how you phrase certain things, the way you phrase them, the tones you use, all these things make up a lot of the forward speech. Why couldn't it work the reverse? Because I kind of developed this idea that, you know, when you look at things, like, for example, when you put your eyes on something, a lot of people don't understand and probably don't even think about it. But when you cast your gaze at something and you're staring at it, people don't realize that your brain projects the image in reverse, and then the brain corrects it, so you're seeing it in the right way or the right side up way.
Right.
Right. So why wouldn't they do that with sound? That's what I don't understand. Why people can't grasp that idea that sound is also the same, that we get it both backwards and forwards. Whether or not it influences us, any guess, people think that it's subliminal and may influence you. But in reality, there seems to be, with what you're showing us tonight, there seems to be like this congruency of thought and words, and it's being demonstrated with a word speech. So I don't know. We'll throw up to the listeners and see what they have to say about it. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Tonight with David John Oates, we are learning a lot about reverse speech, probably some things you didn't even know about it, and some demonstrations that, in my opinion, show the, I guess you could say, the circumstantial evidence to prove, or at least somewhat prove, that there is something to it that it cannot be explained. The discipline is up to David. This is all about what we do with this science, but it's all about, once again, metadata, where inside of us, inside the container, there is data that you can dig out if you just find ways to extract it. We're looking at fingerprinting the brain, perhaps fingerprinting the intuitive side, or getting into the brain side that is where dreams are made, the ether. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Your phone calls coming up on Ground Zero. Don't go away. Okay, what we want to do now is we want to go to a few phone calls. A lot of people have been patiently waiting. Let's get right now. Let's go to Dave in New Jersey, listening on WR 710 AM. You're on Ground Zero with David John Oates. Go ahead.
Hey, Clyde, I think you're awesome, and I love Ground Zero. Don't play that backwards. David, how did you stumble upon this? This is very fascinating.
Oh, right. Well, actually, goes back to 1983. The actual true story is quite amusing. It was on my birthday. I actually dropped the tape player into a toilet bowl. And when I took it out and tried to fix it up, and only played backwards. And so I started listening to Taste Backwards. And then about a few months later, I heard about backward messages in rock and roll. And so I thought, I've got this backwards tape player here. I'll start running these records backwards. I heard what they heard, and I was thinking, oh, this is really interesting. I'm a bit of an electronics buff. I'm a ham radio operator, so I'm fairly cluey with electronics and sound and audio. And it was fairly genuine to me. I couldn't see any manipulation of the soundtracks, and then I stumbled across it quite by accident in Human Speech, and the first example I found was Neil Armstrong walking on the moon, and he says backward, "Man will spacewalk," and fascinated me. Sorry,
David, why don't you play that one for Dave?
Neil
Armstrong walking on the moon, and what he says in reverse is remarkable. Here you go.
This is great. I like
this. This is the very first reversal I found in speech. Here we go.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And backwards, it's man will spacewalk.
Man will spacewalk.
And again.
Man will spacewalk.
And I remember when I found that, I didn't know what was on the forward track, because I'd actually got a compilation of famous radio broadcasts, little snippets, and I was running the whole lot backwards. And the first thing I heard was spacewalk. I didn't hear Man Will, I just heard the spacewalk first. And then I played it forwards and heard Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. I go, oh my God, that's incredible. It was congruent reversal.
David. David, do you have any wish people you want to do?
Any what?
Any wish
people? Like Barack Obama or the head of North Korea.
Oh, we have Barack Obama coming up in the next hour, Dave. Don't you worry about that. We have some Barack Obama we want to play for you coming up soon. So we'll be doing that.
We're going to do Barack Obama. Yeah. As far as the president of North Korea, well, A, he doesn't talk publicly, so I've got no tapes on him. And B, he probably doesn't speak in English anyway, so I'd be a bit lost doing him.
Okay, well, I appreciate the call. Thank you, Dave, for the call tonight.
All right, Clyde. Thanks.
You bet. Take care. Let's go quickly to Winnie in California. Winnie, hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. As a multilingual person, I can't help but wonder, number one, if reverse speech is being practiced by people in other countries, other languages, and what about the bilingual or the multilingual mind? What if somebody is actually saying something in one language but thinking something in another? Or could you get a reverse speech in another language, actually, but you're not quite able to pick it up?
I have an experience I actually had with David when I first met him in Utah. We were in an expo, and there was a man who came up who was, you could tell that was from, well, he had dual citizenship. He lived in Mexico and the United States. And he came up, wanted to get some reversals done. And what had happened is that I heard in Spanish, clearly in reverse, mi corazón está enferma. Mi corazón está enferma. And I said to David, I go, oh, my God, this guy has a bad heart. And I asked him, I says, are you okay? I mean, it says in your reversal that your corazón, your heart is sick. And he said, oh, he says, I just had a stent put in my heart. He says, that happened about 3 weeks ago. I'm going, you're kidding me. That's one of the things that I thought I was onto something with David. David, what about other – do you have reverse speech?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what? I've got reversals will occur. I've got some of Bin Laden here. Let's play this one, and then I'll discuss it all. He's speaking in Arabic.
Al-ikhwa alladhina ahtabuhum shuhada lillaha Abdul Aziz al-Mu'tim.
And he says in reverse, I will buy you the palace of evil. So there we have English on Arabic. Now, that was the only English phrase we found in a whole hour tape. The reversals are generally in the language that you are speaking. But if you're bilingual or multilingual, you'll get reversals in the other languages as well.
That's interesting.
So you'll get across the board. To answer other questions, I've trained one analyst in German and one in Spanish, and they're all finding reversals in their native language.
So, Winnie, we're out of time. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. David Jahno, it's always fascinating having him on the program. We have him again in the next hour, so stay tuned. We'll all be getting your phone calls, too, at 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Coming up, what does Barack Obama say in reverse? A lot of strangeness from Barack Obama and some other fun reversals as well, right here on Ground Zero. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700 if you have any questions about reverse speech, or if you know of what David does and may want to hear some reversals yourself, by all means, call us. 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more. Keep it right here on Ground Zero. I want you to think of all the data that our brain has to process on a daily basis. And I know we take it for granted because we don't stop and think of every bit of information or even the thought that most of what we absorb, both visual and aural, are sent as signals to the brain that go in jumbled, upside down, sideways, reverse corrected, and that's what we do. We have to find patterns so that we can understand basic communication. I learned this when I learned to speak Spanish. If you didn't speak the language correctly, or if you didn't conjugate verbs correctly, or if you didn't form a sentence correctly or the word correctly, no one would understand a word you were saying. So what happens is the brain has to ascertain if it understands what it's hearing. The human brain is one of the most powerful receivers of all messages, whether it be electronic form or from other source, whether it be natural or whatever. We produce tones. Our mouth is producing the way we see certain types of symbols. We make them into words. And good or evil, the messages exist in a realm of multiverses. There is infinite the stars in the sky. That is why a lot of people say that with quantum mechanics and with all the other intuitive stuff that they're using for data mining, you can just be a conduit and a receiver of inspiration, and the voice of inspiration comes to you without even breaking a sweat. And they use this information to try and determine intent. And all over the world, we see cultures that have their interpretive prophets, their shaman, their medicine men, their sealers, they're people who claim to be fortune tellers, or their gurus, holy men, etc. That's because they know how to tap into that collective unconscious. They know the pulse of the zeitgeist, and they put forth ideas and scenarios that lead to some sort of predictive programming or approximation that the public can see. And it's been proven over and over again with methods other than reverse speech. Just reverse speech, I see, is kind of where you see things in strange orders and combinations, and then you make the cognitive connections. And something that, of course, some people would call pareidolia, which I don't know if it is or not. It's kind of interesting, though, because the brain does seem to bring patterns together. And even if it does bring patterns together, we shouldn't dismiss the patterns if they appear in context, which David has proven tonight they do appear in context. If it has significant meaning, then I suggest that, you know, perhaps we need to look into it more and try to understand exactly what this is about. I mean, I know, David, you've been dogmatic at times, saying that this is like windows of the soul and what have you. What has happened? I know that for many years you've been doing this, over 30 years you've been doing this type of thing. And many people say, well, it hasn't gone beyond the radio stage or the entertainment stage or the, oh, my gosh, this is an amazing thing stage. I mean, what is happening? How is it being applied? Or is anybody recognizing it anymore?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Reverse speech has been used very extensively. Well, one of the areas I use it with is therapy. I've got a very active therapeutic practice, and as do several other of my trained analysts. And we're getting amazing results working with people. Reverse speech will tap into the unconscious. It'll tell us why we are doing certain unwanted behaviors, and in many cases it will tell us solutions for it. So it's given me incredible insights in therapy. We've started moving into the corporate consulting field now, and I have three corporate clients now, and we're using it for employee selection, business decisions. One of my clients, before he will do a major business decision, he'll sit and talk about it on tape. And one client, I recently saved him from a disaster. He was talking about his business, and reversals were all going very well. And then he talked about the guy he was going to hire as his CEO. And whenever he talked about the CEO, the reversals were atrocious. So we did another follow-up tape just to check it out, and the same thing occurred. So he decided not to hire that guy as his CEO because reversals were very negative around that. I think probably my biggest disappointment about its ongoing use is the lack of trained people in the field. I think it's because it's such a difficult technology to learn. I mean, you've really got to be able to spend hours and hours and hours at the desk with headphones on. And meticulous documentation. I've developed very rigid, strict criteria that students must follow. And it's such a rigorous discipline. It's very difficult to learn. And that's my biggest disappointment. But well, certainly the
I would agree that the biggest disappointment I've seen with reverse speech are those who do the rehearsals and they throw anything up there that sounds like it, or they get an idea. This is how it is. And hear things and they say, "Do you hear that?" And it's not even clear. And I remember that when I went through the training and learned a lot, there was like you rate them on a scale of A, B, C or whatever. Of them you just throw away as saying, it doesn't necessarily form any sentences at all. Therefore should not be used. And it's not not something that even exists. But I'm sure there are a lot of people who want to, I guess, impress upon the reverse speech some of their own thoughts and interpretations that may or may not be congruent with what the person is saying. And this is where we run into trouble, and this is where I think a lot of the problem and criticism comes from, is because the discipline can only go so far, and then people start saying, well, you know, it's all about interpretation. We can't necessarily claim it's this. It's no proof of anything, only that it shows that there are some interesting comparisons. It can be duplicated, but what do we do with it after that? That's the problem I think most people have with it.
You see, I don't know how to answer that. The applications of it are just endless, literally endless.
Uh-huh. I agree.
Used in so many areas.
I can see it in a business, using it for business to try and figure out if employees are trustworthy. I can see it as a guide. I can see it as a number of things. And I know it works. But what I'm talking about is the hardened skeptics who are out there saying, well, you know, these are the disciplines that I follow, and I don't think the disciplines follow any particular disciplines that I follow. And a lot of people are hardened on that. And yet you can show them, and a perfect example of this is, remember back in the old days, David, where we got a little chancy with the reverse speech on my old shows, and we used to play swear words on the air. Play them. And then one day I got a contact from the FCC saying somebody complained that I was playing swear words on the air. And I actually had, and I don't know what I did with it, but I actually had that letter from the FCC saying, you know, somebody had reported me playing some sort of segment that was in reverse that revealed a four-letter word. And that, of course, our favorite four-letter word that begins with F and ends with CK, that it was not the word fire truck. And the thing is that it was heard. And I thought, well, look, if it was heard, then obviously reverse speech works, because if they're hearing that word, and I didn't say I didn't say anything. I didn't want to call attention to it, but I says, what did you hear in this? And believe me, people heard the word.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Yeah. People don't hear reverse speech, and then all of a sudden they hear a swear word, or they hear something, I heard that. And they're willing to report as quick as they can to the FCC. And I'm like going, you know, that just should be, I guess, a feather in your cap, David, because, show up in speech, and people do understand it, and they pretend not to understand it until something crucial comes along. They're going, wait a minute, I heard that, and I'm gonna complain. My child was listening. I go, oh, your child was listening to Ground Zero at 1 o'clock in the morning? What are you doing with a child listening to Ground Zero at 1 o'clock in the
morning? Yeah, that's funny.
So anyway, we're gonna do some more reversals coming up, and also take your phone calls at 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Tonight with me is David John Oates of Reverse Speech. We're trying to ascertain exactly where the discipline goes in the meta. The metadata is what they call it. Coming out of the container is what's inside of all of us, and that is the speech forward and backward. According to David John Oates, my guest, we'll take your calls coming up, and then we're going to have some reversals on Barack Obama coming up. 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero. We go now to Oscar in Texas, listening on KLBJ 590 AM. Hi, Oscar. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. I'm just wondering where the heck you dig up all these snake oil salesmen that you have on your show, man.
Who's selling a snake oil salesman? What do you mean by a snake oil salesman?
You know, I can recite
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And if you play that backwards, it could sound like, I like to molest children.
No, it doesn't.
But that doesn't mean.
No, it doesn't. Hey, wait. Okay, so why don't you do that? Why don't you record the speech and play it backwards and then show us where it says, I molest little children.
Right. I mean, when you make up nonsense, Oscar, and call a radio show, I hope you have enough arrows in your quiver to sound intelligent. And obviously you don't, because you can't play that backwards and say, I molest children. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's not going to happen.
I'm just using that as an example.
Oscar. It's the dumbest example I've ever heard. Look, if you're going to call up and say that you don't believe something or that you have a critical view of it, please at least come up with something that's a good retort rather than some stupid, obnoxious thing to say because you want to hear yourself on the radio sound like a real total ass clown.
Well, no, that's a matter of opinion.
No, it's not a matter of opinion. You just gave erroneous information on the radio. Do you find yourself proud of that?
Yeah, I actually do.
Well, good for you.
I'm proud of the fact that I am much more intelligent to know that you, just because somebody sounds like they're saying something backwards, does not mean that they're actually thinking or implying that that's what they're thinking.
But you don't know that. You don't know that at all. You don't know that.
What evidence do you have to back up your claim?
Yeah. Do you have any evidence?
No, I don't have any evidence.
Of course.
Well, then shut up.
No kidding.
Come
shut
with
up.
Evidence. Come with solid, hard evidence.
Really? I mean, if
and
you
I'll show you my solid, hard evidence, and we'll compare the two.
I mean, if you want to come on the air and be a skeptic and be someone who has a really good argument as to why it doesn't work or why you think it doesn't work, hey, I'm more than happy to listen to it. But, you know, when you come on the air and you just come up with some stupid thing you pull out of thin air because you think you're cute and funny, you're not going to work. It doesn't work with me.
I'll tell you what. I will apologize for having come off as arrogant. But
no, you don't come off as sounding arrogant. You come off as sounding stupid. There's a difference. I mean, if you were arrogant, I can deal with arrogance. But sounding dumb and ignorant, that's a different story.
I've never heard a skeptic come up with a valid argument yet.
No, I still think that you're full of it, man. Both of you are full of it.
Well, good. I'm glad you think we're full of it. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you think we're full of it, because if you had a better argument, I would have said, well, maybe I am. But no, I consider the source. Oscar, thanks for the call. Let's go now to Robert in California. Robert, hi. You're on Ground Zero.
Hello, Clyde. Exciting interview tonight.
Thank you.
And wonderful, this reverse speech. I'm curious, what reverse speech resources are available for the average man, the average woman, to improve themselves, become a better human being, more congruent, more intuitive, more loving, etc. It seems
very good,
very exciting technology.
Go ahead.
No, thank you,
David.
Yeah, very good question. Well, we have a whole website full of some valuable information. I'm coming out with an app in about 3 weeks. It should be ready for iPhone. It will be a free app, and it will put reverse speech in the hands of the general public. I've got a home study course. I've got MetaWalk series on the website. They're a series of guided visualization journeys using some of the most common metaphors of the unconscious. I've got an active therapeutic practice. You can call in, and I'll record you, and we'll analyze the speech and get a very good look into the unconscious. Actually, probably the best thing to do, get your pen and paper out. I'll give you a phone number. This is our our Portland office number, and this is for office hours only. It's 503-919-3752. Yeah, 503-919-3752, and that's our main office number. And talk to Jeff, who answers the phone, and he'll certainly put you on the right path. But look at my website. There's so many resources there for the hobbyist to get started, just to learn the basic steps to follow. It's a 6-CD course. So books I've written. I've written a half a dozen books on reverse speech. You can get all of them from my website. There's a lot of material available there. So yeah, go and have a look.
There you go, Robert.
Thank you very much.
All right, it's a great. It's great. Once you put yourself in the experience, you're not going to want to stop. It's an amazing thing. And I remember when I first was exposed and I went to all the workshops, I was amazed. Lynn in Maine from 96.7 FM. You're on Ground Zero.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Thinking.
earlier, it's just like the English language. When you have a double negative, it turns it into a positive. But when you have two positives, it does not make it a negative. It's still a positive.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Like the reverse speech comes out to where the truth is about what they're really feeling,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to what they said or what they really know. And opposed to when someone is really truly being positive and honest, it comes out to be true. And I just thought I'd mention that.
That's true. It's very true.
Yep.
What do you say to that, David?
Oh, well, you're all absolutely valid. Yes, definitely. If someone's true, you'll get the truth in reverse. We showed that with those congruent reversals we played. So
I'm a very intuitive person.
So mm-hmm.
So what does your intuition, Lynn, tell you about reverse speech? What do you think? What do you feel?
Yeah, let's hear that.
I'm already a very intuitive person,
uh-huh.
so it comes naturally to me.
Right.
But what I want to work on, and it occurred to me, is doing reverse speech, but in the written language. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I don't know whether it occurs in the written language. I mean, it may do. I've done no work on that. Of course, you've got the Bible code, which claims you've got messages all throughout the Bible. People have asked me about written language, and I don't know. It would be interesting to find out.
What's really interesting right now, Lynn, is that, you know, since you're talking about the idea of reverse and written language, automatic writing and that, I'm right now doing some studies on the ciphers of the Zodiac Killer. And believe me, I'm fascinated with the codes and how in reverse, forward, and backward, the Zodiac was able to send what are known as ciphers or written code to the San Francisco Chronicle when he was doing his murder spree. And I'm really fascinated with how, I mean, there were some school teachers, actually, that cracked the code. But then again, there are some other investigators now that are saying that a whole new suspect may be being thought of now because of the fact that they cracked the code and saying that the killer actually gave his name in the middle of the ciphers. And if you go back and you read the ciphers over again, both forwards and backwards, you find that he put his name in every one of those ciphers and that he was actually giving himself away, but he thought he was clever and he kept it hidden in the way he wrote in forwards and backwards ciphers and codes.
Interesting.
So that's something you may want to look into.
I hope the world is ready for this because I know I make people very nervous. I have to be careful what I say.
Well, I mean, if you learn how to crack codes and you can do that, that's a talent. And if you can look into forwards and backwards speech, you may want to enhance your life by calling that number. David, what's that number again that they can call to get into it?
Yep, 503-919-3752. That's 503-919-3752.
Lynn, thank you for your call. That was an amazing thing to talk about, especially I'm getting all obsessed about the Zodiac Killer, looking into the ciphers and codes. It's amazing stuff. David John Oates, my guest tonight on Ground Zero, reverse speech coming up, as we promised, more reversals, this time on Barack Obama, and your phone calls. Any questions you may have of David? It's been a while since he's been on the radio. We're so proud to have him on the radio tonight. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll have more from David John Oates coming up on Ground Zero.
Mean a world full of truth. I said, yeah, I was
first message to the other side of the fence and get out of here. Gibbs is supposed to have someone have to look for the door. The officer is giving out a message. You're easy. Stop the book. Gibbs says, Bruce is not the plan.
And you think children speak back?
Children speak back from as early as 4 months old. They start off with simple, single words. And then,
why do they go forward?
Well, that's when the conscious mind starts. But see, the unconscious mind learns first. The unconscious mind picks up information first. That is speaking first. And then the conscious mind starts forward speaking.
Sure.
Yeah, well, that's one of the criticisms thrown at the field, but the fact is these reverse phrases are occurring once every 15 or 20 seconds of speech. They're occurring in grammatically sentences that relate directly to what's been spoken forward. And the odds of that happening by pure chance are extremely high, to say the least.
Now, Bob?
Oh, well, that would mean a world full of truth. I don't know whether we can handle that.
I'm Clegg Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. David John Oates, my guest tonight on Ground Zero. The number is to call 888-673-3700. It's 888-673-3700 as we explore the windows of the soul, as David calls them, tonight with reverse speech. Of course, kicking things off, talking about how the data mining begins with written and also all the things we put on the internet. But there is another place, a container where the metadata exists, and that's there in the unconscious mind. And this is where David believes reverse speech comes from. And a lot of people tonight, we were talking about Snowden, we were talking about Princess Diana. But David, a lot of people tonight are really interested in what you have on Barack Obama, because I know that, of course, they want to know what he's thinking about and what goes on in his mind. So let's throw a few Obama reversals out there.
All right, we've got a couple of Obamas. I've also got one, an interesting one of him talking about Syria, which I might go public with that. And we'll, anyway, but we're going to start off with a couple of miscellaneous ones first. Here he is talking about Iraq.
To help Iraq seize the chance for a better future.
And here he says, we forever smashed it.
We forever smashed it.
We forever smashed it.
There it is. So that's an incongruent reversal. Okay.
Yeah, right.
So obviously, we forever smashed it. Iraq is, I don't know what the status in Iraq is. That's been out of the news for a while, hasn't it?
Well, we know that whatever goes on in Syria is probably going to like spread over, the new wars are going to spread over to Iran. And of course, what happened in Iraq, of course, you know, we smashed it. Meaning that the whole Middle East is being destroyed. It's being destroyed and probably will be repaved and rebuilt by American contractors, which, of course, is, you know, disaster capitalism. So, yeah, you smash it and you rebuild it pretty much, I think.
That's true. It's all a financial enterprise.
Right.
All right, look, here's one of Obama talking about Syria. And I'm putting my neck on the line with this one, so let's just play it.
Do we have the coalition to make it work?
And here he says, don't begin it.
I'll begin this.
So is he thinking about not going in? Everyone thinks they're going to send the missiles in. What do you think, Clyde?
Well,
or does he have reservations?
I think he's had reservations from the beginning, and I think that right now we're in the process. Right now we are moving in, and I think that it's happening in a reluctant way. I've seen a lot of the interviews, and people I think that would agree that Obama has been very, very, I guess you could say, offish when it comes to talking about the Muslim Brotherhood, talking about, you know, going in and dealing with what's going on with Syria. I mean, of course, Russia, of course, is angry at us for, you know, our moves. And here's the thing that's interesting about that whole gas thing. We were still trying to figure out if any of the reports about the sarin gas being used on the citizenry there, we were still trying to figure out if that was true. And they still haven't really inspected or at least tried to, you know, look into it. And yet, you know, it was already a foregone conclusion with several other, governments that hey, it's going on, we're going in. And I think that that's the thing is that, you know, I think when you go in with the attitude that, hey, we're going in no matter what, regardless of the evidence, if there is evidence or anything else, or if it's staged or if it's a false flag event or whatever, you know, that's the thing is that, you know, Obama's been very, you know, he doesn't apply himself to these types of things. He, right. I think he just kind of like stays on the wayside and hopes that it will go away. And when it doesn't go away, then he has to act presidential. But he really doesn't. I mean, he doesn't sit down with Congress. He doesn't do anything. He's one of those presidents that, you know, he talks a good talk and he walks a good walk and he's very charming. But does he really sit down and be presidential? I really don't think so. And I think the only time he was presidential, and even then, that's completely, you know, arguable, is this whole thing with Osama bin Laden. And we don't even know if that was real or not, because we don't have any proof that it happened the way you said it happened.
That's true. Here he is talking about Osama bin Laden.
Over the years, I've repeatedly made clear that we would take action within Pakistan if we knew where bin Laden was. That is what we've done. But it's important to note that our counterterrorism cooperation with Pakistan helped lead us to bin Laden and the compound where he was hiding. Indeed, bin Laden had declared war against Pakistan as well and ordered attacks against the Pakistani people.
And here he says, I was a Nazi cop.
I was a Nazi cop.
There it is.
I was a Nazi cop.
And again.
I was a Nazi cop.
So maybe he feels some, maybe he sees he was being really aggressive here. Maybe he's got reluctance over it. I don't know.
Well, that's just how I see Obama. I never see him as a warrior. Yeah. I've never seen him as a warrior president. I've always seen him as a guy who's kind of like going, I hope it would go away. Or this can be negotiated away, and it's getting to a point where it's not going to be negotiated away. And yes, I'm very sure that Obama is being very reluctant and standoffish, even though we've got missiles ready to fire and we've got troops surrounding the area. I mean, right now they're meeting in Cyprus. Some of the world leaders are meeting in Cyprus now. So yes, it's they're in Jordan as well. And I think that you know, we're seeing what is the beginnings and of a war, and it's just going to get worse. It's just going to get worse.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll sit back and we'll wait and see. Okay.
Yeah. What else? Anything else you have of Obama's?
Oh yeah, he's insulting George Bush backwards.
This afternoon, I spoke to former President George W. Bush.
And he says, "As I promote the corpse."
As I promote the corpse. As I promote the corpse.
Again.
As I promote the corpse.
He's calling George Bush a corpse. That's a funny one.
As I promote the corpse. Let's go down to some calls and see what people have to say here. Let's go to Karen in Pennsylvania. Hi, you're on with David John Oates. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I ran into all this reverse speech several years ago and really started playing with it. And it's totally undeniable. The part that I find really interesting, I'm very connected to my subconscious, so I don't get any surprises about what I'm feeling. But what I think is really interesting is when I say things that I couldn't possibly know about that are more kind of almost like predictions, you know, not subconscious. That's really neat. When I'm like, whoa.
They're amazing, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah, and predict future tense events, and I tell my clients this is going to happen, and bang, there it does. It's an incredible thing. Yeah, good on you for experimenting with it. Yeah.
I had a really long reversal. I said, and I'm not really sure what this means, but it was really long and it was very clear. I said, you know Memphis, how it looks and how it used to look, and I thought, what? I have no interest in Memphis. I've never been to Memphis, and I thought, what on earth does that mean?
Well, are you referring to Memphis, Tennessee, or are you referring to the other Memphis?
I don't know what Memphis I was referring to, but to say, you know, Memphis, what it looks like and what it used to look like?
Well, we're talking about the ancient capital of Lower Egypt. That's what Memphis is. I mean, if you somewhere inside of you, you could have this interest of wanting, you've seen Memphis. It's not necessarily Memphis, Tennessee, but I would think that it could be an indication that at one time in your subconscious you know of Memphis or Egypt or something. That's it's just an ancient city.
Because I've never been there either. Maybe past life stuff.
You could be. David, does that tap into past life stuff? Does this type of
you know, I'm on the fence with that one. I don't look. Yes, look. There's certain reversals that I can't explain that would appear to have a past life connection, but I don't have enough evidence to state that with certainty. So
okay.
That's where I am.
So it's still being worked out. There's some things that still need to be worked out. Karen, I thank you for your call. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet, Bob. Let's go to Sharif in New York at WOR 710 AM. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi. Loving the show, as always.
Thank you.
Like when you have David on. I like the spooky stuff. I like it because some of the reversals are spooky. So anyway, one of my favorite ideas about this reversal thing is the example of Turn Me On, Dead Man, the Revolution Number 9 song by the Beatles.
Yeah, we were talking about Charles Manson a few days ago, how he was inspired by Revolution Number 9 and Turn Me On, Dead Man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea that somebody like harnessed this reverse speech in art. So anyway, I was watching this movie called Room 237, about people who find hidden things in The Shining,
mm-hmm.
the movie The Shining, and there's a lot of reversals in that movie to begin with, but one of the people interviewed in that movie, actually he wasn't interviewed, but he was mentioned in the movie, says that you can watch the movie both backwards and forwards.
The Shining?
And, yeah, Shining. You can watch it both backwards and forwards. And if you, like, superimpose the images on each other, I hear it's, like, really interesting. But anyway,
I've never heard that.
More recently, somebody found, like, on YouTube, you can look it up, the Shown. There's this strange muttering in the background, but it reoccurs. It's, like, the same audio clip that's, like, in the background, and it's... Anyway, I was just thinking that maybe that could be a reversal, or do you think that people put reversals, like, knowingly into their movies or songs or things? And would that
Wasn't there was a Scientology movie where they did that, David?
Yeah, that was a phenomenon. Yeah, there was backward messages in there. Yeah, Nasty, we're talking about backward masking. There's two separate things. Backward masking is where it's done intentionally in the recording studio. Reverse speech is the natural function of speech. So, yeah, they are putting backward masking or backward messages in movies and music. And people do it.
But I mean more like the Turn Me On, Dead Man thing. Where
yeah,
it's not
that's what
obvious,
backmasking is, yes. It's intentionally putting in there. What David is demonstrating is something that naturally occurs, but when you're listening to, like, the Beatles or you hear some strange mumbling or reversals in movies, that's done intentionally to kind of heighten the awareness. Now, if there was no meaning to that, Sharif, why would they do it? That's the question, and that's why I always wonder, what's the point in backmasking in a song or in a movie unless it has an effect on people? Somewhere they know it has an effect.
One more question.
We're out of time, Sharif. I'm sorry. We're out of time. We're up against the clock. 888-673-3700. It is interesting to note that they do that. If it doesn't make a difference, if reversals don't make a difference, then why bother put reverse messages in music and in movies? 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero. Well, we still have David with us. I want to announce that after, David leaves, I want to at least express some of my concerns about what's going on in the world with regard to Syria and the future of the country. I know that we've heard some reversals that David had prepared with Barack Obama, and it just seems to me that, the attitude of Barack Obama is kind of an offish stance. But the idea, though, that how we've routinely accepted the idea that war is inevitable in every case, in every stretch of the imagination tells us something about what's inside of us. And I remember recalling a while back, David, that you said that you've seen a lot of the word Satan in these reversals now. A lot of people have the Satan in the reversals, and you said something to the effect that it's not necessarily the evil, but it's a force. It's a driving force of sort of the masculine force, if you will, like war, anger, fear. These are all prevalent in people's reversals these days.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because, yeah, I am finding the word Satan more and more in the last couple of years. There's a lot of uncertainty out there. People don't know what's going on. Yeah, they're afraid. They're worried about the families and their future, and there's a lot of frustration and anger too. And that's how the Satan metaphor addresses itself.
Yeah, Satan as a metaphor is a very strong metaphor, and it seems to be showing up a lot. I know that even in religious leaders now, the idea of Satan showing up in their inner core, it doesn't necessarily mean that they believe that Satan is ruling them, but they are very much afraid of how Satan seems to be the doorstep of the churches, according to reverse speech.
Oh yes, now that's a whole show in itself, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We've looked at some of those reversals in previous shows. So
I remember one of my colleagues I worked with was reversing the Pope John Paul II, before he died.
Oh, really?
And it was British. I don't know if you still have that one there somewhere. I'd like to.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah, look, no, Clyde, I've got it somewhere, but I couldn't.
Oh, it's a remarkable one. It was where before the Pope died, he was just mumbling gibberish, and you play him backwards, and he says, "The end is near." And this gave me chills because we knew that his time on this planet was ending. And then, of course, the scandals and everything breaking out about religion and all this. And, you know, I don't know. Do you have just maybe one or two of the religious leaders talking about this at all? Do you have
available? Sure. Well, let's do the famous one from the what's his? Oh. Right. Okay. Sorry, I'm just pulling him up as fast as I can here. Okay. Here we have an evangelist. Oops. Right. Now we'll try it again.
Great things, Warren, and I can do great things today, my friend. It just narrows itself down. What he said to Simon Peter by the Sea of Galilee: "Lovest thou me?"
And this is my advice is rancid.
My advice is rancid.
My advice is rancid.
I mean,
that-
My advice is rancid.
You know, curdles you.
It does.
Curdles you.
You know, David, we're out of time, and it's been a pleasure. I mean, time flies. It really does when we're talking reverse speech. We're going to have you on again, I'm sure. We love reverse speech. We love talking to you. And I'm sure as more comes, we'd be able to do some reverse speech news and really get down to what's really happening. Of course, uncertainty now in the Middle East, uncertainty in Syria. And these are some things that I want to talk about a little bit in the next couple hours at least. So, you know, I thank you for being on the program. And once again, give the number so people can contact you again.
Yep, it's 503-919-3752 and office hours, too.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, David John Oates, for being on the program tonight. It's such a pleasure having you on, and looking forward to hearing from you again.
Okay, all right. See you later, Clark.
Good night. Bye-bye. And that's David John Oates on Ground.